Right, we're on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, and we got up to the third line, Omer Rav Gidol Amar Rav. And he says the following. So we're talking about a Shayara, and we want to set up a Hekef Mechitzos in a way that you can carry within that area that's been enclosed by the Mechitzos. The Mechitzos are secondary mechitzos. They're not the real Makoy mechitzos. They're either Shasi or Erev. And if we have a Shayara of Shlosha, then he says, Afilu b'chamesh asurim. In other words, even if you have five se'in of a spans, you're not allowed to be metaltel, and it's only five. But b'sheva mutarim. But if you have a larger spans, then the mechitzos are reliable. And this is counterintuitive, because the larger the area, the more demanding we are of the standards to validate a mechitza. Now he's telling us that these mechitzos of Shasi and Erev will be fine and valid because he has seven base saw. But if he has only five base saw, then it's going to be invalid. So that makes no sense. So, Amulei, Amar Rav Hochi, so they immediately responded to Rav Gidol, and they said, is it possible that Rav made such a paradoxical statement? Amulehu, Rav Gidol said, look, I don't understand what Rav meant, but one thing I can promise you is that that's what he said. O Raisa Neviyu Ksivi, I will, so to speak, swear on the Torah and the Neviyim and the Ksuvim, the Amar Rav Hochi. Rav said it. Okay, we have no clue, right? So at this point, you know, what do? You have a statement of Rav, it makes no sense, it's counterintuitive, and you have a statement of Rav Gidol where he swears on his, you know, on his beard that, you know, this is what I heard from Rav. So Rav Ashi comes along and he says, you know what? No problem. I understand Rav very well. I don't even know why you're questioning that Rav made that statement. My kasha, well, what bothers you? Dilma, perhaps, Hochi Komar. This is what Rav had in mind. Im Hutzrichu Limokom Shegodlo Base Sheish Soim Vikifu Bimachitza Shal Sivir Bisheva Sloim. In other words, he added, well, I should say they added, right? They added an extra base saw. They really only needed six. So let's say you have three people. Each one of these three people needs an area of two sa'in. That's what he needs to set up his camels, to set up his wares, to sleep, whatever he needs. He needs two sa'in. Okay, he needs let's call it 20 amos. That's what he needs. And instead, they set up the mechitza around them, this Shasiar Erev Mechitza, at seven saw. In other words, they added an extra saw above and beyond what they needed. Is then, Afilu B'Sheva Mutarim, despite the fact that this is such a large area, the Mechitza is valid, they're allowed to carry, and the reason for that is because they only added one base saw. Notice we're going to give an allowance of one extra base saw. But lo hutzuchu el lechamesh. What about a case where you have three people camping in this caravan area, and all they need for all of them totally is five se'in? And instead they circled the mechitzos around an area of seven se'in. That means they added two se'in. Is then afilu b'chamesh asurim. And then you're not going to be allowed to carry anywhere in this area, because although we give you an allowance of an extra sa'ah, but if you take advantage, so to speak, and you expand it to two sa'in, that invalidates the whole mechitza. It's an all or nothing proposition. So that paradoxically, you can have a case where the hekif was on seven sa'in, and it's valid, and a hekif of five sin, and it's invalid. The mechitza will be valid in the case where it circles seven sin when they needed six sin, two per person, because they only added one base saw. But the mechitza In a case where they needed five sit-in and they added two sit-in, that's going to be invalid even as far as the five sit-in is concerned, meaning the machitza is worthless. And that's a beautiful and very original interpretation, Rav Ashi, of the statement of Rav, but the Gemara is going to question it. The Ela Hadiktani. What is Rav Ashi going to do with the Braisa that we had mentioned earlier on the previous Amud? And it says, Ubilvad Shalo Yehe Besa Sayim Panui. My love, Pani Mi Adam. Pani means unnecessary, like vacant. And we're assuming now that the word panui, the Gemara is going to backtrack on this, but right now the Gemara thinks the word panui is referring to Adam. And the case is where there were three Bnei Adam, and they set up, and each one needs two sa'in, two beis sa'in, so two times three is six, but they set up an extra two beis sa'in. Meaning they did the Hekif Mechitzos around an area of eight se'in. So even though, apparently, we would allow for each person to have an area of Shnei Se'in, and therefore, in this particular scenario, we would have allowed them six se'in, and instead, they expanded it to eight sit-in, and therefore the machitzos are invalid. But if, let's say, they did a hekev of seven sit-in, then it would be valid. And what that means is that there's only one base saw which doesn't belong to anybody, so to speak. It's not useful or necessary for anybody. And in that case, the machitzos are ksheros. And that's against Rav Ashi. Why? Because Rav Ashi said that if he needed only five, and he surrounded it by seven, then it's asur. Right? Because he expanded it by two se'in. Whereas, according to this brisa, if he was makif it by seven, and there's one extra se'in, is the mechitzos aksheros. Again, let me just read the beer so we have the mathematics down. He says, "My love, ha'im ein kavanas abraisa shlo ye beisa sayim ponui mi adam, kigon, sheikifu shlosha b'nei adam, shetach shel shmonis so'in." Okay, so you have three, and they surrounded three people, and they surrounded by eight sa'in. Sha'afim noslim shnei sa'in l'chol adam. Even if we give a lot, two sa'in for each one of them, of the members of the shayara, so we still have an extra two sa'in that are ponui below bailim. Correct? Is ba'ofen kazeh ein mo ilos hamachitzos klal. Aval im hekifu shetach shel shiva sa'in shein kan ela beisa echad below bailim. Is Hare Elu Mechitzos Ksheros. Just one second. Hare Elu Mechitzos Ksheros. He writes in the note, Afilu Im Yeshkan Beis Sasayim Ponui. Just one second. What do you mean Beis Sasayim Ponui? We just finished saying that his Hekef was seven Se'in. And what? And he has only one extra base saw. Is there mechitzos ksheros? So this is against Rav Ashi, who interprets Rav as saying that if they only needed five, and the hekef was seven, then asurim af bechamesh. I think the Gemara is asking the following kash. This brisa in formulating the rules that govern the area that is valid for the mechitza and the area that's too large and invalidates the mechitza, it all depends on Adam, which means that we allot a certain area per person. That's not Rav Ashi. The Braisa says you have three people. We're going to allot you two base saw per person. And that means six base saw. And we're going to give you a little extra leg room in terms of the validation of this mechitza of one base saw. And therefore, in the case of a shayar of three people, the deal is going to be 7 versus 8. What do I mean? When they set up this mechitza of 8 base saw, well, they overstepped their bounds. Why? Because we allot them 2 base saw per person, totaling 6, plus a little bit of extra leg room. Okay, then we'll give them the luxury of adding 1 base saw. But now they added 2 base saw, and they jacked it up to 8, then it's invalid. Had it been 7 base saw, then the Braisa would tell you that it is a valid mechitza. The Shasi and the Erev are valid. That's not Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi is asking, what are their needs? What area do they need? They need area for their sleeping arrangements. They need area to put their vessels. You know, they set up an overnight kitchen, whatever they need. So they want to spread out. And Rav Ashi is going to say that if after all is said and done, they need only an area 5 base saw, and they surrounded it with 7 base saw, the mechitza is invalid. That's not the Braisa. The Braisa is saying, we're going to allow you per capita 2 base saw. You've got 3 people in the Shayara, we're going to allow you 6 base saw, and then an extra base saw. Whereas Rav Ashi asks a different question. You know what the requirements, how large of an area we're going to allow you? That depends on what your needs are. And your needs would change from person to person, or from shayara to shayara. You know, some shayaras are overladen with animals, and you need more space for the food for the animals, etc., etc. And it might be overladen with all sorts of utensils, and therefore you need more area. Well, it goes in both directions. We can expand, or we can reduce. In a case where three people only need an area of 5, of 5 base saw, then we're going to allow you that extra allotment of 1 base saw, and you can jack it up to 6, but if you overstep your boundaries and you hit the number 7, then the entire enterprise is invalid. Why? Because now you took 2 extra base saws. That's not true according to the Braisa. The Braisa would maintain that pani means liadam, that although we allot 2 base saw per capita for each person, and that gives you 6, plus add the extra 1, we're okay if you have 7 base saw in this hekev, despite the fact that you may only need 5 base saw, because you're a very poor caravan. So I'll say again, I apologize if you understood this from the get-go. It took me a while. I read 2 different biurim, and I was still in the dark. So Gemara says, lo. That's not what the Braisa means. The Braisa only used the word panui. It doesn't say panui from what? We assume that pani mi adam means that you have this ratio between the number of people in the shayara and the number of base saw that it surrounds, and basically it's a one to two ratio. And that's what pani means. Pani means that you ended up panui beyond 6 base saw, because you allow 2 base saw for each one of the 3 members of the Shayara. We're going to allow you 1. And if you hit the jackpot number 8, it's invalid. No. That's not what the Braisa means. Lo pani mi kalim. Kalim means what are his needs. And we're not going to allow you more than 1 base saw beyond your needs. So we're going to calculate the needs of this particular shayara. You know, you have shayara, you know, that comes from here, and you have another shayara here, and each shayara will calculate your needs, and where you're going to put all your kelim, and lie it all around, and we're going to add one base saw. Yalla, we'll give you another base saw. As a chupar, as we say. That's an Arabic word, right? As a gift. So we'll give you an extra base saw. But if it becomes panui with two base saws, i.e., you need only five base saw because Reuven needs 1.5 and Shimon needs 1.5 and Levi needs two base saws, whatever it is, it calculates all time, sum total is five base saw, and you made it seven base saw, that's going to be invalid. And the Braisa would agree that, because if it's panui mikalim two saw, then it's invalid. We thought in the Hava Mina that the word panui in the Braisa meant panui mi adam. And that means that you added another two base saws for a per capita that doesn't exist. You have only Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Had Yisachar joined the caravan, we would up it to eight. But if it's only Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, it's 6 plus 1, and it's 7. And if that be the case, we don't understand how to reconcile that with Rav Ashi, because Rav Ashi is saying that you have three people, and it was invalid because all you needed was space of five base saw, and you may eject it up to seven base saw. That's invalid. Whereas the Braisa would say it's valid. The answer is no. We have to reinterpret the Braisa in the light of Rav Ashi. And when the Braisa used the word ponu, it means ponu mi kalim. Which means, how much area will be absolutely vacant of kalim? And if all you need with all your kalim spread out is five base saw, and now you have a hekef of seven base saw, the Braisa would say, in that case, you've overstepped your boundaries by two base saw, and that invalidates the mechitza. Itmar. Okay, now we're talking about a situation where we had three people in the caravan going into Shabbos. So Shabbos started at 7 p.m. Boom! 7 p.m. we got three people. Over the course of Shabbos, the numbers changed. Nebuch, one person, is no longer. And it could be the other direction, another person joined the group. How does that impact on these mechitzos that were set up before Shabbos? What's the critical moment? Do we freeze everything in time at that 7 p.m. when the bell rings and it's Shabbos? Shlosha, going into Shabbos, there were three people in this caravan, and they set up a mechitza of Shasi or Erev of Lamezogin. It was, I'll just throw out a number, let's say it was six base saw, meaning each one of these three with all his tzrachim needs two base saw. So we multiply three by two, we have a hekef of six. Umeis echad mihem. So now we're left with two. And had we started on Erev Shabbos with two, this area of six base saw would be invalid. The mechitzas could not cover an area that wide because all we need is four base saw, not six base saw. Now we have the opposite case. Going into Shabbos Shnayim, there were only two people, and let's say, they made a boo-boo. They were allowed, with two people, a hekif of four base saw by the rules of the game. They were makif six base saw. So ask me now at 7 p.m., are these mechitzos valid? The answer is no. They overstepped their bounds by two base saw. And then, good old Yankel shows up. V'nisvasvu aleihem. And now they have three people in the Shayora. Shalom Aleichem, Yankele, where were you? Too bad you weren't here Erev Shabbos. Because that would have validated our mechitzas that surround an area of six base saw. When we were only two people, you would have added and jacked it up to number two. Is here we have Machlokes, Shrin Rav Huna, Rav Yitzchak. Chad Omar, Shabbos Goremes, V'chad Omar, Diurim Garmim. According to one opinion, we don't know who it is. Everything hinges at 7 p.m. when you enter into Shabbos. And therefore, let's go through the two scenarios. According to one opinion, we don't know if it's Rav Huna or Rav Yitzchak. In the case where one guy, Nebuch, dies, the mechitzos still remain, mechitzos, ksheros, they're valid because the hekef of six was, and even seven, right, was a valid hekef for three people, and that's fixed in stone with Shabbos. And in the opposite direction, even though Yankel shows up on Shabbos, they were makif an area of six base saw for two people, those mechitzos were not valid. And the validity or the opposite of the mechitzos is set in stone at the moment of Knisas HaShabbos. That's called Shabbos Goremes. And the other man, the other says, Diurim Garmim. In other words, let's look at the situation as it exists now. How many people do we have? Well, if you have a hekef of six or seven beisah, and now, unfortunately, one of the three is gestorben, and now you're left with two people, is these mechitzos become invalid? So two things died. Levi died, Nebuch, and the mechitzos died. And in the opposite case, glory of glories, happiness is not only did Shimon come to join the group, but Shimon now, by joining the group, has validated the mechitzos when he shows up for Shacharis on Shabbos morning. So when we get back to normal and we have a kiddush after davening on Shabbos morning in Mitzvah Hashem, we'll add an extra piece of kugel in honor of the fact that now we have mechitzos. Now the Gemara wants to know, is there any way of proving which of these two, Rav Huna or Rav Yitzchak, holds which opinion? So I just want to read a summary. He says the following. Diurim garmim, klomar, donim osam kefi matzavam ata with an ayin, ulefichach elu ashlosha, shemes echad mehem, eno mutar miachshav, elabehekev shall base sasayim. Okay, I'm not sure what he means by base sasayim. I mean base sasayim per person, I would say, or depending on the Vihikifo Berev Shabbos Beshetak Godol is Nesru Ata Litaltel Bekulo. And now the mechitzas die with the death of one of the members of this caravan. The Ilu Hashnaim Shenitzvasvu Alem Diurim. And in the case where they started with two. Oh, just one second. So in the first case, they started with three. One second, if you want. Shlosha, Shemes Echad Mehem, Eina Mutar Me Achshav, El Behekev Shel, Beis Sosayim. Oh, actually, that depends on a machlokes Tanoim, right? Because we said that if it's Yochid, that it, I think that's what he's referring to, then the maximum we give him Beis Sosayim. And now, one of them died, and there was a hekif of a greater area, so now the mechitzas are psulos. And in the case of Shnayim Shenitzvasva Aleim Diurin, is now we can validate the mechitzah on a hekif gadol in order to allow for more space for more use, because now we have Yankala who joined the group. Even though going into Shabbos they were hogs, so to speak, and they took too large of an area, and therefore they were not allowed to be metaltal. Now they become mutu metaltistayim. The Rav Huna hu diomar Shabbos goremes. We're going to have a quote of a statement, Rabba, the name of Rav Huna, to prove that according to Rav Huna, it's engraved in stone when Shabbos begins. The Omar Rabbah, Dalai, boy means I asked the question, me Rav Huna, Uboy, and I asked the question from Rav Yehuda. Okay, now we have a case of Erev Adam Eruve Chatzeros, the Erev Shabbos. So now we're talking about a group of homes that surround and share a common courtyard. And in order to allow carrying from the house into the courtyard, we need an Eruv. And when they set up the Eruv, Derech HaPesach, right, there was an opening that would take you from one side of the Chatzer into the other side of the Chatzer. Well, for example, let's say there were two Chatzeros, and two Chatzeros could also create an Eruv. And there's a Pesach between the two Chatzeros. So since they share this opening, it's as if the members of one Chatzer have access to the other Chatzer. And all we have to do is set up an Eruv. But Nebuch on Shabbos, Nistama Pesach, all of a sudden there was an avalanche, and the bricks fell down, the stones fell down, and it closed up the Pesach between one Chatzer and another. V'nistama Pesach derech achalon. V'nistama chalon. I think this is another alternative scenario. Let's say there was a chalon between the two Chatzeros. Again, with this we're going to have to learn about Erev Chatzeros. We don't know anything about Erev Chatzeros. But let's say there's a window that's open between two Chatzeros that allows an Eruv. But now on Shabbos, the chalon, this window became all fashed up, all closed up. And the question we asked was, Mahu, shall we assume, A, that since the Erev was kosher, was reliable at the moment of Knisata Shabbat, we'll call it 7 p.m., it remains kosher and reliable and valid, or shall we say that, true, as long as you had two Chatzeros that had an entranceway or a window between them, that's fine. But now that the situation has changed, and you've now got a separation between the two Chatzeros, why? Because the Pesach, like let's say the Pesach was 10 tefachim high, and now it's completely sasum because the stones, the avalanche fell, or the window is let's say the window has to be 4 tefachim wide, and let's say now it's no longer 4 tefachim wide, and therefore the question is now, im yesh bi oso pesach o chalon rashon dayorim shtei chatzeros la'arev yachad u'talt mizu lefi sheyesh chibur b'neim pat me'ata kishe irvu bi'erev Shabbos v'nistama pesach o achalon b'Shabbos is ha'im mutarim lahamshich l'taltel mi'chotzo achas l'shnia based on this eruv is now me'achar v'hutar tiltel v'tchilas l'Shabbos l'na o betel, or should we say that betel ha'eruv b'shneim v'asurim b'tiltel, since the situation on the ground, the facts on the ground have changed, so now the eruv, you know, basically what the Gemara is asking is, does the Erev have to be matir every moment of Shabbos? You know, it's Machadish Betuvah Kol Yom Tamid. Well, no. The Erev has to be matir for the entire Shabbos, and once it's matir in the Knesset Shabbos, for the entire Shabbos, then that's it. We can't reverse the situation. It's fixed in stone. The Omar Lee and Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda responded, Shabbos hol v'hutra hutra. Since you are allowed to have a tiltel, taking from one chatzah to the other, when you entered into Shabbos, that heter remains for all of Shabbos, even though the requirements are no longer fulfilled because he can no longer find any way of opening a Pesach between one chatzah and the other. He doesn't have an open Pesach. Again, exactly how he's carrying between one chatzah and the other, I mean, he has to squeeze by, but he'll be able to do so. So we see here that, and let's go back to the original statement of the Gemara, Tistayim der Avhunu Diyomar Shabbos Goremes, that Shabbos is Koveya, meaning the moment, the critical moment, is the moment of Knisat HaShabbat. And therefore, we can derive the conclusion that Rav Huna is going to be the one who says that the fact that Yankel shows up on Shabbos is not going to have any impact. And the fact that Yankel never is gestorben on Shabbos, that also has no impact. Everything depends upon the status of the Mechitza as we entered into Shabbos. I mean, the only thing that bothers me about this sugya, honestly, the analogy between Eruv and Mechitzos, you know, it could be that the Rabbanon were Mekil in Chatzeros. I mean, they invented the concept of a Chatzer. They required an Eruv. They required an Eruv. So maybe, maybe they said, well, you know, we're going to rely on this Eruv for the entire Shabbos. Don't bother me. Don't come and ask me questions. Well, things changed. Which is really interesting. I wonder how this impacts on, you know, they have here and elsewhere, wherever there's an Erev, they have a mishmeret. You know, they have these cars that go around to make sure that the Erev is up. And they do it on Erev Shabbos. Now, or sometime before Erev Shabbos. But I'm just wondering, how do I know that the Erev is still up on Shabbos? So if you hold here that Shabbos hold the hutra, not sure, I don't know. That's a little different, because here we're talking about Erev Chatzeres. You know, there we're talking about an Erev of Rishuyos, you know, to create a Rishus HaYochid, a Pesach, a Tzuris HaPesach. Well, maybe the fact that it was intact on Erev Shabbos gives us a Chazaka that we can rely that for the balance of Shabbos, it's definitely going to remain up. Anyway, that's a different issue. But on the other hand, when you're talking about setting up Mechitzos, I don't know. You know, maybe the Mechitzos have to be valid for the entire Shabbos. It's not enough that it has a shame Mechitza entering into Shabbos. Again, when you're talking about an Erev and its validity and its reliability, that's one thing. When you talk about a Mechitza, you're telling me that yesterday was a Mechitza when we entered into Shabbos, but 24 hours later or 12 hours later, it's not a Mechitza. So why am I carrying here? I'm not within Mechitzos. I don't know. The Gemara seems to assume that these two mechitzos, which we spoke about, namely Shasi and Erev, are like an Erev, right? So the Erev has the goal of encompassing both chatzeros in one set of mechitzos. And in that sense, when we're talking about Erev and Shasi for the caravan that's camping grounds there, then here too, we're going to say that it depends on the Hekef Mechitzas. Anyway, the Gemara ends with the word Tistayim. So, finally, we have a clarification here. Who holds what? And it's Rav Nachman, Rav Huna, who holds that Shabbos Goremes, Hol V'Hutra Hutra. And that means, by definition, by process of elimination, that Rav Yitzchak would hold that diurin, what's it called, diurin garment. Okay. So the Gemara says now, Lema Rav Huna Rav Yitzchak beplugta de Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda kam miflegi. So now we're going back to Tanoim, and we're going to say that this machlokes amoroyim about whether Shabbos goremes or diurin garment is really an ancient machlokas that dates back to the Mishnah. This is a Mishnah later on, Adaf Tzadi Dalid. Chotzer shenifritza b'Shabbos mishtei ruchoseha is V'chein bayis shenifratz b'shabes mishtei ruchosov. V'chein mavui shenitlu karosov olachayov. Mutarim li osa shabes. V'asurim li osid lavo. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda is maintaining what we call Shabbos Goremes, or Hoel V'Hutra Hutra. And what's the case? We have a case, let's take the easier cases first, and we'll sort of go backwards. We have a case of a Mavui, and somehow the Korah, or the Lechi, of the Mavui was removed on Shabbos. Now, how did that happen? Could be a wind came along and blew down the lechi, blew down the korah, I don't know. But going into Shabbos, we had a tikkun mavui of a lechi or a korah. And according to the first shita, which is that of Rabbi Yehuda, it's mutal yosa Shabbos. After Shabbos, I have to fix it up. I can't rely on last Shabbos, because I had a korah last Shabbos, at least entering into Shabbos. But I know that in this, you know, the next Shabbos, I know I don't have a korah lechi. I certainly have to fix that up. So that's called l'shabbos liosid lov. Now we have a case of a bias shenifratz mishteru chosav, or a case of a chotzer shenifratz mishteru chosera. Now, what you have here is a common courtyard to different batim. And now, on Shabbos, the mechitzos on both sides fell apart. Now, I'm not sure why you need nifritzah on both sides. I would think that nifritzah on one side should be enough. Let me just see if by chance he adds anything here. Just give me a second here. He says, Chatzah shenifritzah, a chatzah that was breached on two of its sides and is no longer enclosed in that which is necessary to permit carrying there. Oh, he says it in a very... Oh, but there's a note here. So the walls that separate the chatzah from Rishus HaRabim partially collapsed on Shabbos, leaving gaps which invalidate the remainder of the wall. The Chatzah therefore loses its status as a Rishus HaYachid, and carrying is prohibited within it for the next Shabbos. The question is, however, what about the remainder of this Shabbos? And Rabbi Yehuda is activating the principle of Hoel V'Hutra Hutra. Now the Gemara is going to explain that the Mishnah refers to breaches of 10 amos, or narrower. Otherwise a breach on only one side would be sufficient to invalid. Oh, that's what I was asking you. Why does it say here that there was a breach on two sides? And that has to do with 10 amos or narrower. Again, these are sugyas way, way later on in Erevin. So if the gaps are 10 amos or less than 10 amos, then it's enough if you have a pirtza only on one side, and that's muta. But here, there was a pirtza on two sides because the gaps are more than 10 amos. The breach is more than 10 amos. Okay, that's the case of Chatzah Shenifritzah. Now, we have a case of a bias, Shenifratz Mishtei Ruchosav. So it was breached on two sides on Shabbos. And that I understand, because then you're destroying two out of the four mechitzos of the bias. So let's just see what happened over here. Here too, the gaps are 10 amos or less, and they are adjacent sides of a corner. Ah, so it's open on two sides of a corner. Okay. I have a picture of it here. Not sure I exactly understand the picture. Sometimes I don't understand the pictures that he gives. Okay. So he says, the house under discussion has a sloping roof. Okay, these are all sugyas that we didn't get up to. And we have the principle of pi tikra yored visosem. The edge of the roof extends downwards and closes the gap. I think he's talking about doraisas and derabonans, meaning that if you have pi tikra yored visosem, so that could replace the machitzos, and even though it's nifritza 10 amos, nevertheless you still have machitzos. That's on a doraisa level, but the rabbanon would prohibit it. So I'm not sure, Rabosai, this is something that we have to really come to grips with. This principle that we're operating with here, it's called hoel v'hutra hutra, does that work on a doraisa level? I do not know. I mean, if we're talking about an Erev Chatzeros, that's only the Rabbanon. But if we're talking about, you know, Nifritza Mechitzos, not in the case of a Mavui, you know, you might have a Doraisa Lochi. So I don't know. That's a little bit, that's impossible for me to understand that it would work even on a Doraisa. Anyway, that's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Im Mutarim Li Osa Shabbos, Mutarim Li Osid Lovo, Im Asurim Heim Li Osid Lovo, Asurim Li Osa Shabbos. Meaning, you agree with me, Rabbi Yehuda, that for next Shabbos, it's not a good matzav. You know, we cannot rely on these mechitzos that have this gigantic pirtza in it. And therefore, even this Shabbos, how can we rely on this on these mechitzos that have such a large pirtza? You know, you agree that next Shabbos, this mavi is also because there's no korah, there's no lechi. So now we have no korah, no lechi. How can we be matzav? So we have here in this Mishnah Machlokas, Shin Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, about Shabbos. Do we accept the principle, Shabbos hol v'hutra hutra? Rabbi Yehuda says that the beginning of Shabbos will determine. And if you add mechitzos that were valid at the beginning of Shabbos, then you could be metaltel, it's mutter to be metaltel the whole Shabbos, even if nifritza. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, no, we look at the situation as it is now. And therefore, lema Rav Huna, diomek Rabbi Yehuda, v'Rabbi Yitzchak, diomar, Rabbi Yossi. So when Rav Huna says that although you began with three people in this caravan and now you're down to two people, we can still carry there. That's because Rav Huna is standing on the shoulders of Rabbi Yehuda and applying the principle of Shabbos hol v'hutra hutra. Rabbi Yitzchak on the other hand says, no. We're not going to apply the principle. We need dayarin. Right now we need dayarin. And if you don't have three dayorim now, then these mechitzos are not reliable. And that would reflect the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, who says that if nifritzah, during the course of Shabbos, your mechitzos are breached, then you're in deep trouble. And it's not reliable. Amar lecha Rav Huna. Rav Huna doesn't want to get stuck here, waving the flag of Rabbi Yehud. He says, Ano di amri afilu le Rabbi Yossi. I can reconcile myself even with her. Ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yossi. Hasam. When did Rabbi Yossi reject the principle of Shabbos hol v'hutra hutra el delesnu l'mechitzos? There are no mechitzos. So if you're dealing with an issue of relying and permitting tiltal because of a place that's surrounded by mechitzos, you simply don't have mechitzos. But in our case, says Rav Huna, aval, in our case, isnu l'mechitzos, even though we don't have the number, the magic number of people living in the caravan, what we call diurim, right? We have this number, we have that number, and things have changed, but at least one thing has not changed, and that's the mechitzos. Those same mechitzos that we validated on Erev Shabbos, admittedly because of the number of people that were in the, you know, within those mechitzos are still standing. Rabbi Yitzchak Omar, he doesn't want to be pushed off holding like Rabbi Yossi, so he says, Ano diamri afilu l'Rabbi Yehuda. I can be reconciled with Rabbi Yehuda. When does Rabbi Yehuda apply the principle of Shabbos hol v'hutra hutra? Lo kam Rabbi Yehuda hasam ela de isnu l'diurin, because you have the same people living there. Nobody has left the house or the mavui or the chatzer. They're there, and they relied on this heter entering into Shabbos because we had all the proper mechitzos, and we're not going to tell them now, sorry buddies, you can no longer be metaltel. In other words, the heter was addressed to the gavra, as we would say in brisket terminology. And the gavra, once he accepts and receives that heter, he's got a document signed and sealed that for this Shabbos, he's allowed to be metaltel. Aval hocha, but here in the case of the shayara, is the entire matir here is based on diurim. In other words, we want to facilitate the people and give them the base sauce that they need in order to function, you know, to set up a kitchen and to move things around. But less noodle diurim, now we don't have the same number of diurim, therefore, I'm right, says Rabbi Yitzchak, and even Rabbi Yehuda would agree with me. In this case, we're not going to apply the principle of Hoel Shabbos Hol V'Hutra Hutra, and we're going to therefore say that the mechitzos of Shasi and Arev that we use to be Matir Tiltul in these in this Shayara, that heter was based on diurim, and we don't have those diurim anymore. Fascinating, fascinating sugya. Okay, then, Rabosai.